Amen. Thank you, Bruce. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25. If you're using the black Bibles, that can be found on page 816. We're going to this morning focus on verses 28 through 30, but I thought we could, just to kind of get the context in which Jesus makes this statement and issues this invitation, that we could begin reading in verse 25 through 30. And if you're able, please stand once again in honor of God's word. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray once again. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving it for us. And we thank you for these very words of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word that we have before us today. And what a beautiful passage it is, what a beautiful invitation. And so, Father, we pray that you will again open our ears. Lord, for any who don't know Christ today, I pray that they would hear the Savior calling them today to come to him. And for those of us whom you've already called, Father, please help us to understand what it means to follow him, what it means to be his disciple. For we desire to know you better. We desire to bring glory to you. And so please help us, Father. Please help me to proclaim this accurately and boldly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. What is a Christian? How does one become a Christian? What does it look like to follow Christ? These are all questions that we're really seeking to answer, not just this morning, but in our current series of sermons, a series that I've called Understanding Discipleship, Learning What It Means to Follow Jesus. The Bible describes Christians as disciples of Jesus, so we need to, it's important for us, right, to understand what that looks like. What does that mean? So far, we've learned that Jesus expects those who follow him to love him more than anyone or anything else. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. Also, Jesus expects those who would follow him to deny yourself, come under his authority, and follow him as your Lord. And then last week we saw that he also expects us to renounce everything that we have. In other words, we recognize that we belong to Christ, and so everything we have is at his disposal to use for his good purposes. And today I want us to see another important aspect of discipleship, and that is this: to be a learner of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when you think of the word disciple, that should be one of the first words that comes to our mind, for that is what the word itself means. It means to be a learner, a student, a pupil. And we want to understand what that entails. Learning is at the heart of discipleship. And if you have your outline there in your bulletin, especially if you're a note taker, and even if you're not, I just want to give you the big idea of the sermon right up front. You know, sometimes they say you should be able to summarize your sermon in a sentence. Well, I did today, all right? I don't always do that, but here it is, okay? Coming to Christ for salvation entails submitting to learn from Christ in order to become like Christ. Okay, I'll say that again. There's three blanks there because those are the three areas I want us to hone in on. Coming to Christ for salvation entails submitting to learn from Christ in order to become like Christ. You see, there's three parts to that statement, and I've broken them down into three shorter statements that are kind of going to form our outline today and be the flow of the sermon today, and it's simply this. Number one, saved by Christ. Number two, learn from Christ. And number three, become like Christ. Right? Those are kind of the three parts we draw from that statement, and those are three aspects, I guess you could call it, of what it means to be a disciple. You're saved by Christ, you learn from Christ, and you become like Christ. And I want us to see this morning that all three of those are connected. Those three are all inseparable. They're like three links in an unbreakable chain. So the title of the message today is simply A Disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus has been saved by Christ, is committed to learn from Christ in order to become increasingly like Christ. Okay, so point number one, saved by Christ. And we see that here in verse 28, Jesus gives this beautiful invitation, and he's inviting people to come and be saved, to be saved from their sins. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's not talking about physical labor and physical rest, because as you continue reading, you see in verse 29, he says, "You'll find rest for your souls." So when Jesus talks about you who labor and you who are heavy laden or have this heavy burden, he's talking about the burden of carrying your own sin. He's talking about the burden of a guilty conscience before God. Jesus is calling people to come to him. He's calling people to become one of his disciples. And in doing so, he's inviting them to find freedom from the burden of sin. And we need to put ourselves in that culture and understand that Jesus is talking to people who were familiar with discipleship. Discipleship was not unique to Christianity, right? I mean, there were other rabbis who had disciples. And matter of fact, at that time, if you were a serious Jew, you were what you would say a disciple of Torah. You were a disciple of the Old Testament law. And what was true is at that time, between all the laws that are in the Word of God and then also the rabbi's teachings of the law, there was like this whole bundle or this whole package. Someone has counted it up, 613 rabbinic prohibitions, which basically summarized the teaching of Torah. Okay, and so those who were serious about the Word of God, that's what they would study, right? You know, these 613 teachings and prohibitions and rules, and so you could, Jesus is speaking to people like that who have been trying to follow Torah. But think about that, 613 prohibitions, 613 teachings. And so that's what he means when he says, "Come to me, all you who labor, all of you who are heavy laden, those of you who have found that this is not only just difficult, this is impossible. There's no way I can keep all these laws. There's no way I can do this perfectly," right? You know, in Galatians, it talks about, yeah, he who would obey the law perfectly, yes, you could be saved, but no one can do that, right? We all fall short. And so imagine what a burden that was, a person that took the Word of God seriously and took God seriously and recognized they were a sinner, but yet as the more they learned about God, the more they realized how short they fall, and the more they saw what was required of them, the more it was condemnation to them, right? And so they're burdened, they're heavy laden, and Jesus is saying, he's inviting them, hey, don't be yoked to Torah, come and be yoked to me. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. He's saying being yoked to me is not like being yoked to Torah and learning from one of the rabbis, because why? What's different? Jesus has come and he has borne that burden himself. He has placed himself under the law. He has kept the law perfectly in our place, and then also then borne the curse of the law on the cross, paying the penalty for all who would come to him in faith. And so that's why Jesus can give this invitation. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so I tried to briefly explain the cultural context, but even today, whether you're Jewish or not, right, many people carry the same kind of weight of sin and guilt before God, right? Because God's existence and his glory is displayed before them in creation. I know many suppress that, but many don't, right? They say, yes, there is a God. And the Bible says God's law is also written on all of our hearts by nature. And so many people know that they are not right with God. They recognize that they have rebelled against their Creator. They know that they don't measure up to God's standards. They sense that they're under just condemnation of God. And so many are afraid to die, right? Many are afraid to die, and rightfully so, because they fear standing before God. They have this burden. Maybe they've heard the word of God, and maybe they understand they're under this condemnation. And so they're afraid. They have a burden. They're the type of people who are laboring, right? Think about the people you come in contact with, the people that exist in this world. How many of them are laboring to find rest for their souls? They're afraid to die. They have the burden of a guilty conscience. If you've read Pilgrim's Progress, they're like Christian before he became Christian, graceless, right? They've been exposed maybe to the truth of the Word of God, and they carry this huge burden of sin. They know that they're guilty, but they need to get rid of that burden. They can't do it themselves. These type of people are laboring. They're working hard to make themselves right with God. They're working to make it to heaven. And again, that looks different in different people, but many are laboring at religion, right? They go to church. They do the sacraments of the church. They jump through the hoops that are laid out for them. They're laboring to try to do something about this burden of guilt, to try to find rest for their souls. Others are just laboring at good works. They serve in the community. They try to be a nice person. Many in our culture, I don't know if you call it labor, it's kind of almost an oxymoron, but they labor at distraction, right? They labor at pleasure seeking. They pursue the comforts of this life, all, I think, partially to try to find peace, to try to find meaning, to try to find rest for their souls. But none of that kind of labor brings lasting peace, right? Because the burden of sin remains. The Bible says that good works, law-keeping, can never take away our sin. So think how discouraging that is. To labor so hard and still not be at peace, to work hard and still be burdened by guilt and sin. And it's to that kind of person that Jesus graciously calls out and says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's saying, I can give you the peace that you're looking for. I can give you relief from your burden, lasting relief, not just a temporary distraction, but real relief. I can take that guilt away. I can take that condemnation away. Notice let's look closer at the call Jesus gives. Jesus says, come to me, right? We come to Christ. We don't go to a religion. We go to a person. We go to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, crucified, risen now, exalted, reigning. That's who we go to find this relief, to find salvation. We go to Christ in repentance and faith. We look to Christ. We embrace his life and death and resurrection. And so Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Trust in me alone and your sins will be forgiven. Believe in me and you will be saved from God's wrath that you deserve. Turn to me and I will make you right with God. That's what Jesus is saying here. Come to me and you will find rest for your souls. Right? I will give you rest. Rest means to cease from labor. Come to me and you'll find rest for your soul. Come to me and you can rest, cease from trying to do all these other things to make yourself right with God, from trying to do all these other things to get rid of this burden. No, come to me and it'll be taken away and you can be at rest. Oh, what a beautiful word that is, isn't it? Rest. Rest. Jesus says to them, you've been striving, you've been laboring, you're heavy laden, you've been striving hard, but to no avail, but I will give you rest. You've been burdened and weighed down, but I will give you relief. Your soul has been restless, right? And many people that we come in contact with, their soul is restless. But Jesus is saying, in me, you can find rest. You can find rest. You've been searching for peace, and I'm the only one who can give it to you. Right? Not just peace of mind, but peace with God, which will lead to peace of mind. Right? To know that you're right with God. Not because of anything we've done, but because of Christ. Clothed in his righteousness, all our sins cleansed by his blood. To be at peace with God, to lay your head down on the pillow at night and know that if I don't wake up here, I'm going to wake up in the presence of God in heaven, in glory. What peace that is. And so many people don't have that peace. They don't have that peace. And again, some have are so, their conscience is so seared, they're so distracted, they've suppressed the truth. Maybe they don't even, they're not even concerned about it, right? And so to them, we need to lovingly bring the word of God and help them see their need, right? Help them see how far they fall short understand their dire situation, right? But to others, by in God's mercy, I guess you'd say, I think they know that they're not at peace, right? They know they need rest. They're searching, but they search in all the wrong places, right? They're trying to do things in their own power, their own strength, their own good works, their own man-made religious systems. And Jesus says, no, come to me. I can give you rest. Notice how wide Christ's invitation is, right? We saw that earlier, didn't we, several weeks ago. If any would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, right? It's kind of the same type of language here. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Not just people of a certain color, not just those of a certain educational or economic level. No, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, I think one of the songs we sang today said it, right? The only stipulation is that you recognize your need, right? Recognize that you are burdened. Recognize that you are a sinner who needs a Savior. Recognize that you are guilty before God. Jesus said, only the sick need a doctor, right? He's not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we know the fact is, what the Bible says, we all need salvation. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All people need Christ to take away their sin and make them right with their Creator, but only those who recognize their need will come, right? And the point here, Jesus is saying, everyone who comes will find rest for their souls. Everyone who embraces Jesus as Lord and Savior will be saved. Jesus will not turn any away, right? John 6:37, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. What a beautiful invitation. What a beautiful promise that our Lord Jesus Christ gives today. And I couldn't help, as I was studying this passage and thinking about that, wondering, are there any here today who are still bearing the burden of their sin? Maybe you know that you don't measure up to God's perfect standard. Maybe you know that you're guilty, that you are a sinner before God. And so I just echo Christ's invitation here. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus. He died on the cross in the place of sinners. He paid the penalty for all who believe. You don't need to bear the burden of your sin any longer. You can find rest for your souls. You can be at peace with God. You can know that God loves you, that God has forgiven you, that you'll be with him for eternity. Come to Christ. God will forgive you. He will adopt you into his family. You'll have the peace of knowing that God is your heavenly Father, that he loves you. Your soul can be at rest. Because when you die, you'll be with him forever in heaven. Nothing else in our society can bring us rest for our souls. Right? Rest for our souls. Only Christ, only the Lord Jesus Christ can give us rest. And so we should run to him for that rest. Trust in him. Trust in Christ alone to make you right with God. So that's the first point, saved by Christ. A disciple of Jesus is one who's been saved by Christ, by God's mercy, by God's grace. He's heard that call. He's recognized his need. He's come to Christ and found rest. The second point then is learn from Christ. Learn from Christ. We see the invitation to be saved by Christ is also an invitation to learn from Christ, right? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Again, disciple, the word itself means learner, a pupil, one who has been trained, right? And it's interesting here, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That comes from the same root as the word disciple, right? So he's inviting people to come and be disciples. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. What's a yoke, right? I don't know how many of us even see yokes anymore, right? But you know what it is, that big wooden thing for oxen, right? You'd have usually, I guess, two oxen yoked together. Kids, I forgot to double check this, but if my memory serves me correctly, you know the Little House on the Prairie books, right? You know book number 3, Farmer Boy Almanzo, right? I'm pretty sure on the cover of that it shows him with his little oxen that he was trying to train, and they're yoked, and they're, you know, all messed up, right? Because he was struggling with them. That's a yoke. And so we'll get into maybe the symbolism of that a little bit more, but just understand that what Jesus is saying is, take my yoke upon you. That means to submit to him, to come under his authority as a teacher. It's saying, come, be yoked to me, attach yourself to me, come and learn from me. Well, he says that, right? Come, be my follower. Come, submit to me as your teacher in order to learn from me. Commit your life to me, right? Commit to follow me and learn from me and imitate me. Become my student. Become one who learns. Become my disciple. Learn from me, Jesus says. This learning is not just head knowledge, right? I so appreciate the song we sang, more about Jesus, right? You know, it's kind of like, well, what are we learning, right? What do you mean learn from me? Well, we're learning Christ, to summarize it, right? Isn't that how Paul referred to it in our scripture reading, Ephesians 4? That's not the way that you learned Christ. We're learning Christ. We need to learn the person and work and teaching of Christ. We need to learn his commands so we can obey them. We need to learn his values so we can adopt them as our own. We need to learn his person so we can treasure him and know him and worship him and fellowship with him. We need to learn his work on the cross so we know what we've been saved from, and so we remember all the promises and who we are in Christ, right? We need to be learning that every day, preaching the gospel to ourselves. We need to learn his promises, the promises that flow out of the gospel, and so we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and know we face trials and difficulties, and though our outer self is wasting away, we know what he's doing inwardly, right? Our inner self is being renewed day by day, and we know what's been promised to us, what's awaiting us. We need to learn Christ and his work and his person. And this learning is to be shaping our lives, right? This learning is not just head knowledge, it's to direct our life. We're learning Christ's values and so we can embrace them as our own. We're learning his the worldview, I guess we could say, right? We talk about worldview. We're learning his mindset, how he looks at people, not how our world looks at people. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about, now we no longer regard people according to the flesh. Right, we're ambassadors of Christ. We've been made a new creation. Now we see them as people created in the image of God who are separated from God because of their sin, and they need to be reconciled to God, and Christ alone can do that. And so we urge them, be reconciled to God. Our learning is to be centered on Christ. Our learning is centered on knowing and worshiping our triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, and it's centered on Christ, the work of Christ, how God the Father has given all authority to him, how it's in Christ that he's uniting this world back to himself. And so think about that, loved ones. We're to be learners, and not just learners of Bible trivia, right? Not just learners of unattached doctrine, you know, so we can, you know, come across as pretty smart or win an argument or something. No, we are learning Christ. Our learning is for the purpose of knowing Christ, of following Christ, and bringing glory to Christ. Our life belongs to Him, like we talked about last week. And again, please notice that being saved is linked to being a learner of Jesus. Remember, I said these three things are linked. You can't just take one without the others, right? He's saying, come to me, find rest for your soul, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. These things are indistinguishable, inseparable. You can't say, well, I want to come to Jesus to be relieved from this burden of my sin, but I don't want to learn anything from him. You can't do that. That's not a disciple. That's not a Christian. You can't say, well, I want to come to Jesus so I can find rest, but I don't want to submit myself to him. I don't want to submit myself to the demands of discipleship. No, it doesn't work that way. Can't say I want the benefits of salvation without also the responsibilities or the demands of discipleship. A Christian is a disciple. And we know this is a lifelong endeavor, isn't it? We are lifelong learners of Christ. Praise God, we never arrive. We never run out of things to learn. We learn him increasingly, and by God's grace, we grow closer to him. And so again, this shows us what it means to become a Christian, but it's such a good reminder for us who are Christians that we're to be learners. Loved ones, are you still learning Christ? Are you still learning Christ? Perhaps you've stopped learning Christ. Perhaps you've become content that, well, my sins are forgiven, right? And now you've kind of just devoted yourself to other things. You're a learner, right? But it's maybe a learner of something else. And I know we have responsibilities, but I mean, our primary commitment is to learn Christ. To learn Christ. So don't stop being a learner of Christ. That's what a disciple is. Learn from him. Dedicate your life to learning from him and pursuing him. And that leads then to the third point. I've already kind of hinted at it, right? Become like Christ. Disciples don't just learn information from the rabbi. They learn the lifestyle of the rabbi. And again, when we think of learning, right, we think of teaching in a classroom, right? You know, hey, I've got this class, and I go and sit in this class for 50 minutes or an hour, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right? You know, I'm a learner. And obviously, you know, that's how we kind of have to do it here, I guess, in our culture, to learn a career or learn a major, right? But no, to learn Christ, it was to enter into a relationship with him. That's what a disciple did when they became a disciple of the rabbi, right? They followed him wherever he went. So the disciple was not just learning content to regurgitate for a test or something, right? No, the disciple was trying to become like his rabbi. He was learning his teachings and he was observing his actions and how he applied the truths to life situations. Discipleship is not just about acquiring information, it's about learning a way of life. Please hold your finger there in Matthew and just flip ahead, two books to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Just wanted to give you a couple of verses. Luke 6, verse 40. Again, Jesus is just kind of speaking in general terms about discipleship. Luke 6, 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. See, that's the purpose of discipleship. To learn, to be trained in order to become like your teacher, like your rabbi. And that is what Christ has called us to do. You could write down 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. It was part of our call to worship today. Again, the Apostle John says, whoever says he abides in him, abides in Christ, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. As disciples of Christ, we are following Christ and learning from Christ so that our lives become more and more like the Lord Jesus. So Jesus not only teaches us truths about himself, again, this is a relationship, this is a union. Christ becomes the one we embrace. Matter of fact, right, it's Christ living in us and through us by his Spirit so that we become more and more like him. And that's a work of God that he's doing, but we know that we're to cooperate with that work and seek him and pursue him. And I was reminded of what the Old Testament teaches us when it was condemning idolatry. It's warning us and saying we become like what we pursue. Those who craft idols and those who put their hope in idols and those who pursue idols become like them, the Old Testament says. Likewise, we become like what we pursue. If we cherish and pursue the values of this world, then guess what? We become like the world. Right? And that's really easy to do because we started out that way, right? So there's already a lot to work from there, you know? Some old habits, some remaining sin. But even as believers, we can become increasingly like the world and, you know, where it shouldn't be that way, but I'm saying I think it happens, unfortunately. But, loved ones, if we set our hearts on learning Christ through his word, then God's Spirit will day by day transform us into the image of Christ. And this is what God is seeking to do in the lives of believers. Again, God's not just satisfied if you know more about the Bible just in an academic way. No, he wants you to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of verses that you could jot down that talk about that, and I mean, there's many more. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. For those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is a lifelong process that God is doing in us, and it won't be completed until Christ returns and we're raised physically from the dead and become like him. Colossians 3, verse 9, the latter half of that verse, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And that was the parallel passage to Ephesians 4 that we read about learning Christ. This is what God is doing. As we learn in Christ and abide in him and have his words abide in us, God will change us so that we begin to act more like Christ. God will grow you so that there are things about you. Think about this. Wouldn't this be amazing if this were true about us? That as God grows you, there'll be things about you that remind people of the Lord Jesus. Wow. And point others toward him, right? This is for his glory. This is not for us. This is that people would see something in us. Obviously, it pales in comparison. But that they would see something of Christ in us. And that could then point them to, or maybe we'd even get the opportunity to point them to the real thing, right? To the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, in the word of God, and say, let me introduce you to him. Let me introduce you to this beautiful Savior, this precious Lord. And be encouraged. We're not on our own in this process. And here's where, again, I think the imagery of the yoke is helpful. Jesus gets into the yoke with us. Isn't that interesting? Take my yoke upon you. It's like we're partners with the Lord Jesus Christ. Step by step, Jesus is walking with us through this life. He's ministering to us through his Spirit living inside us. He's ministering to us through his word, feeding us, through his body, encouraging us. Jesus is enabling us to follow him and learn from him. So this is an invitation to come and walk in companionship with Christ. And because of all those resources I just mentioned, because it's Christ walking with us, right? Not so far out in front of us and just saying, come on, what's wrong with you? Why are you tripping and falling so many times? And no, he's right there with us, walking with us. And that's why, as we do that, we find that his yoke is actually easy and his burden is light, because we're attached to Christ. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. It doesn't mean that being a Christian is easy, right? We know we find that we'll face trouble, we'll face tribulation. Jesus said that. And again, that, like, in the spirit of discipleship, he's like, if they rejected the teacher who's above you, they're definitely going to reject you, right? But even through that, even through the persecution, or even through the trials of living in a fallen world, and even through our own folly and sin, Christ is there with us. He never leaves us. And so, yes, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. We are still, our souls are still at rest, even as we long for our eternal rest. So come to Christ. Learn from him, submit to his authority in your life, attach yourself to him. That's what he's calling you to do. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a disciple. And again, if you're grasping something of that commitment, you're saying, well, wait a minute, that is a pretty big commitment here, right? To attach myself to someone? How do I know that I want to do that? How do I know that they'll be good and not lead me astray? And again, I've already said, he's the only one who can give you rest for your soul, so that's reason enough. But it's like in Jesus and his kindness told us a little bit more, gave us a little more encouragement here back in Matthew 11, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus doesn't talk about himself that often, right? The apostles talk about him a lot. But here he is. He's saying, I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus tells us why we should yoke ourselves to him. He's gentle. He's lowly. He's so loving and kind and patient and merciful and good. Attach yourself to him. He will never mistreat you. He will never lead you astray. He'll never take advantage of you. He'll never leave you. He comes alongside us day by day, ministering his grace to us. His mercies are new every day. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Again, the Christian life is not easy, but we'll never be alone. Jesus will be right there with us, and our soul will be at rest. The Bible says it's actually the way of the transgressor that's hard, right? It's the way of the sinner that's hard. They're still carrying the burden of their guilt. They're still afraid of dying. And they're still trying to do everything in their own strength, without a Savior, without a Lord. Come to Jesus. By faith, embrace him as your Savior and Lord. Attach to him, not to religion, but to a person. Attach yourself to the Lord Jesus and follow him. And find rest for your soul. And learn from him. Become like him. Let's pray. Father, we praise you.